Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for the second attempt for the show because the sound wasn't working. How can this live streaming platform not have sound? Now I've clicked on reset stream and it's working. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today is the official beginning of perhaps a big economic crisis. We've had drops in everything, Bitcoin, stocks. Everything is in the red, and I had predicted this pretty accurately because I think 6 months or a year ago, I said we're going to have a huge period of inflation followed by an economic crisis that will hit within 6 months. And I think I have said roughly this about 6 months to a year ago. Although I'm kind of surprised that I'm accurate on this because I was seeing the economic system go forward despite the Ukraine war, despite the price of fuel. I thought that they would get through it and survive maybe six more months. But it seems that no, the kind of objective analysis that I had done 6 months ago where I said it's going to be about in 6 months that everything cracks and people stop consuming were there. Today I was driving towards civilization and I saw there was no one on the streets. The fuel is too, the price is too high. There's no one in queue waiting for fast foods. The streets are empty. People don't consume anymore because they don't have the means to, and the price of fuel in and of itself is sufficient to push people away from their normal consumption habits. And also there's been an unsustainability of the entire stock market system, because the reality is companies don't make much money. They don't make much profit. They are merely operations that work, like Amazon. They had a $4 billion loss on their last report. They're just selling a lot. They're selling a lot to a lot of people, but they are not generating enough money to cash in profit. And it's always been like this. So you end up having a stock market that ends up not being a way to direct money flows in a way that can be profitable, but just a stock market that represents shares of the market. And just the fact that people buy at Amazon should make you want to buy the stock of Amazon. But when it boils down to it, the market value of these stocks are unsustainable. They don't generate enough money flow to eventually pay something to the owners. So we're just talking about the gains of value that happen to the stock are abstract. They represent a share of the market. They represent a company that people choose to buy to. But in a way, companies are prostituting themselves toward customers, giving away their stuff without care for profit, because they just want to increase their share value. They just want to be able to say, oh, we've had billions of sales and we have millions of subscribers, just like Netflix was doing. So you end up having a kind of dissociation between reality and the stock market, and eventually it has to hit back. Do you want lunch? Says Amazon Web Services makes up 100% of its profit. Amazon Web Services is a different thing. I mean, it's not even what Amazon does in terms of being a retail store on the internet. Amazon Web Services is much more. It's basically a branch of exploration in gathering contracts from people who want to host things, basically data centers. It's a totally different thing that Amazon, yes, may be making money on, as long as the technological world is also in the bubble of an ever-increasing, a civilization that deceives itself forward. Because I was thinking about this, and I realized today, thinking about it, that I've never been a streamer in an economic recession. Basically, I've been starting my career as a streamer around 2013, but really professionally between 2015 and 2017. So I've never seen the super chat world, the world of YouTube, Odyssey, or whatever. I've never seen that world not operate under a booming economy, because my rise on the internet was parallel with the rise of Donald Trump, who eventually became a president, which launched us on this kind of ever-increasing stock market direction that it seemed that there was nothing to stop it. So a lot of things will be tested in this recession. It is a recession where also one other factors that contributes to it, beside the inflation, the fuel prices, and the zombification of the economy. Let's not forget that we have been under governance toward the end of Trump to now. We have been under a governance of that combats business success, that is a Democrat governance that makes rules, that makes environmental rules, that seeks to handicap the progress of the economic of various economic sectors that are too productive, that produce CO2, that consume fuel. You cannot have a booming economy under these kinds of circumstances. Under these circumstances, nothing that you can do will ever bring profit. And even if you were to have profit, you would pay it out in tax eventually. So it's a very different world from the one that was under Donald Trump, where under Donald Trump, people had the impression, oh my God, everything's going to work well. It can't not work. But under the Democrats, and I would argue even under the end of Donald Trump with the COVID stuff that he has let happen, there is no way to profit from business activity. There's not even an interest in making money in this kind of society, which is why I love being low profile. I love not making a big salary, because anyways, they will get at it. So that's what I mean by reality is about to hit our economy. The reality that if you tax so much, if everything costs so much to produce, if you can't even drive somewhere without spending $20, $30 of fuel, there's much less things happening in your society. That's because people are not even incentivized at creating stuff. M says, is it over for US stock and coin bros? There's going to be a bear market for the coin bros too. I mean, it's going to hit as hard the crypto world as the rest of the system. So yes, there will be a big challenge to all those cryptocurrency values. I'm still keeping my Bitcoin. My plan hasn't changed. I was unhappy with the growth that I've seen in this bull run. And so I've kept my Bitcoin, and I'll be farming in my greenhouse, producing vegetables to survive, just so I can keep my Bitcoin and keep them for the next bull run. So, but there's a lot of, there will be a big test on all these little crappy coin that that don't make sense at all, that bring nothing to the market. You know, these meme coin, you're not going to hear about them a lot in the coming years. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have a total silence in the crypto world. Meanwhile, we have learned that the Alabama couple formed by this prisoner and this guard of the prison has been caught. They have been caught. Now, the guy is captured. The girl is now in the hospital. She was the prison guard. She's now in the hospital because she shot herself, apparently. When she saw that that the police had caught them, she attempted to kill herself and may not have succeeded. So Oh my God, nothing works in this whole story, but a prison guard who escaped with a prisoner with whom she had fallen in love. They are now under custody, although one of them is in the hospital. Dino Legovic says it is not possible to make a cordless drill, ship it around the world, and send retail for $50. The true cost will eventually catch up. Well, that is an interesting thought, because there are definitely $50 cordless drills available at your hardware store and at Walmart. What are the economics of it? I don't know. Perhaps one thing I would say is cordless drill is... I've come to appreciate corded drill, because cordless drill, you have to charge it before you work. It gives you this kind of extra step of something to think about. You have to charge your battery. Now, they've been working. They're not super powerful. They have less power than the one with the wire. But, you know, in most situations, I found that because I'm not starting a house from scratch, I always have an extension available that can bring electricity wherever I work, even in the greenhouse. So I've come to appreciate the corded life. Hashtag corded life. John Drake says, I still think there will be a BTC divergence from the markets. Well, right now, if anything, I would argue that the BTC drop is leading the markets. So just have a look here at the markets, just to give you an idea of how bad the situation is. Pretty much everything is in the red. Look at this. Apple -3%, Google -2%, Amazon -5%, Tesla 8.3%. So we have those are still much smaller losses than what you see on Bitcoin, because on Bitcoin you have a at peak 68,000 and you're currently at 30,000. So it's extremely low. Bitcoin, I personally will not be selling Bitcoin. I will be keeping my Bitcoin for a future peak. I don't care. I don't need that money. But yeah, you could say I missed the peak of this bull run, because I was convinced that it would go higher than 68,000. But the way I see it, it's not that I missed the peak of this bull run. It's that my bull run will be 4 year long. I don't care. I didn't care. I wanted to reach a certain target. I wanted to sell at least at 100K. I don't see Bitcoin as being fundamentally flawed such that it would never recover. I think that what leads to the current Bitcoin price is just the economic stagnation that is inevitable, and that will probably only be solved by first an election of Republicans in the Congress, and eventually perhaps a return to Republican presidents, who knows, Donald Trump, a return, or Ron DeSantis. But I don't think we can have natural economic development under Democrats. What we may have is Democrats enacting some kind of massive government spending. But I don't know that this would be enough to recover a natural economy, because when massive government spending happens, you have the friends of the regime that get favored. They get their big salaries from the state or from working with corporations that team up with the state, collaborate with them. But it's going to be, even that would be a limited economic growth overall. S&P 500 -3%. So that's the look over 6 months. Basically, we've entered into a drop relatively slowly, but today we have big crashes all across the markets. John, do you want lunch? Says Diamond Hands JF. Yes, I am pretty Diamond Hands. I just keep my Bitcoin and I'm super secure. I've set my whole life up, when you think about it, to survive on my own, to have food reserves, to produce some vegetables. And so I'm not going to sell my Bitcoin to continue living a standard of life of wastefulness. I can very easily cut on my expenses. I can boil down to the minimum. I can reduce my expenses down to having electricity, internet, and food. And that's it. And even some of the food I have, I will produce it. Drawdown Mania. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button in the regular chat. Just below the regular chat, you'll see the dollar button. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats, hyper chats. Help a streamer brother in these harsh times. Donate to the show using the dollar button on Odyssey. As an alternative, you can also use Entropy. The link is below the video. Drawdown Mania, CTME's daily newsletter, email below. Blah blah blah. Good luck reshuffling big books. Nothing new really, but liquidity is horrible. You don't need much size in order for this market to move. Add short gamma to the mix, and pain is huge. We're really at a critical moment. We're really bottoming out on something. Now, there's also the possibility, which I should specify, there's also the possibility that the current crisis is not a final depression, and that this ends up only being a correction, and that there's some excitement on the markets that drive it back up for 6 other months. I'm pretty agnostic on this question. The recession could happen now within the next few weeks, or it could happen in 6 months or a year. But it will have to happen. We will have to have something like 2008. And I was thinking about 2008, and I wasn't a streamer back then. I was barely into. When did I? So 2008, I was beginning my PhD. So I was funded by the state. I basically went through this, therefore, without much impact on my life. I didn't have property. I didn't have stuff that lost value. I was just getting paid to be a PhD student. So my life basically was left unaffected, precisely as someone dependent on the state, on this big government spending. Your life is not affected by economic crises of that kind. Firestarter says I was in elementary school in 2008. Wow, that is funny, man. That is funny. There are parts of the audience, when I was starting my PhD, they were in elementary school. That is fascinating when you think about it. I mean, the we lead parallel lives, and we encounter ourselves at different points of our lives, and sometimes it's not corresponding at all. Fascinating. Dino Legovic says, haha, invest in a Pepsi refinery to supply JF. Bro, I have reserves of Pepsi. If I total all of the cans I have and all of the Pepsi, SodaStream Pepsi. If I total all of this, I have enough Pepsi for 2 years. 2 years drinking 12 cans a day, because I have plenty of that concentrated solution, and I have 4 different bottles of CO2. I could get more if things really go crazy, but I will not be lacking. I will not be lacking Diet Pepsi, that is for sure. Power grid operators warn of potential electricity shortages amid transition to clean energy. That's one of the reasons why the current crisis is happening, because we have governments that are fighting against success, that are fighting against the free development of energy streams toward people. And if you fight against pipelines and you fight against this and that, things become too costly, and eventually you don't have the thing anymore because there's too much demand and there's no one who wants to step up and say, okay, I'm going to be a fuel burner or a fuel producer, or I'm going to be an electricity producer. Meanwhile, at Gab, Dan McKinley is blogging the impending population collapse, the most serious issue of our time. I'm not sure that there's going to be a population collapse, but let's see what he has to say. He says an article on real blah blah blah. Okay, this will make COVID look like a walk in the park. Every neoliberal global institution is fixated on limiting demographic growth, environmentalism, scientism, and atheist materialism have all been used in the last century to radically limit the expansion of human propagation. Since the 1960s, the number one goal of elite establishments has been to reduce the Earth's population. In 1968, David Rockefeller founded the Club of Rome to fund social and political movement that would lead to less people. In 1972, Klaus Schwab created the World Economic Forum, who's not now known for orchestrating the Great Reset. By 1980, China had implemented the one-child policy. In 2000, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was established to stop African overpopulation. These groups have been widely successful. The UN estimates the world's population to be at 7.9 billion. That's likely an overestimation of at least 10 to 15%. The global population is almost certainly below 7 billion. Let me show you how I know. Virtually every polity in the world has an incentive to overcount each census. People move and are still recorded. People die and are still on the list. Duplicates are common. Inaccurate census are the norm, not the exception. There are far fewer people than you are told. Take China as an example. There are likely only about 1.28 billion in China, as opposed to their official tally of 1.41 billion. India's government statistics have long been known to be immensely unreliable. How much fraud is in the world's largest democracy? Nigeria supposedly has over 200 million people. After reading this article about the political weaponization of records, I'm much less certain. Well, that's a case I had never heard of, but it's a very interesting position that we may have been overcounting human beings. I don't know. I think he's making an interesting case. I don't know if I'm fully convinced, but it's very possible. There may be also some context in which we are undercounting human beings, but it's totally possible that in most contexts we are overcounting them. Agent PSI says regarding population growth, somewhat related, state of Victoria, Australia, banning homegrown food. I think it's coming to Canada and the US sometime in the near future. Are you kidding me? Victoria, Australia. Premier Dan Andrews is passing a bill that prohibits people from growing their own food. The Agriculture Legislation Amendment Bill 2022 has had its second reading in Parliament. Biosecurity is stated as the reason for changes. Increased enforcement power, searching of property and persons without a warrant, increased fines, and $10,000 for providing false or misleading information. Landholder consent is no longer required for authorized officers to take samples, stock animals, and documents. What the fuck? Oh my God. How can you do this? Stop people, which is the most green ecological thing to do, is to farm your own food. You make your garden. It reduces the amount of transportation, wrapping, plastics used in the process. Really, growing your own food is the most green thing you can think of, and they're about to make it illegal in Australia. Wow, thank you for this article. I didn't know about this at all. Continuing on the Gab blog, the messaging will be loud and clear. Population decline will be a good thing that should be celebrated. If you think you're ashamed for having children now, check again in 10 years. Every anti-human ideology will be enforced where they have control. The population collapse is too late to prevent, and it will happen by 2050, if not sooner. Here's how I know. Worldwide fertility rates, age of first child, median age by country, and life expectancy all tell the same story. The numbers have been crunched. By the way, the numbers have accelerated since 2019. It's starting to get real. The world's population may go down below 3 billion in our lifetimes, but that's not nearly the worst part about it. That will be the lack of young people. There's only one country in the world with a fertility rate above 6, Niger. With the exception of Afghanistan, every country over 4 is in sub-Saharan Africa, even Yemen. A country known for polygyny and child brides was at 3.7 in 2019. India, Saudi Arabia, and Iran are now at or below the replacement rate. The world is currently at 2.3. The replacement rate has traditionally been placed at 2.1. We now have other factors: alternative lifestyles, suicide, infertility, and economic challenges mean that the realistic replacement rate is at 2.5. The world is already below replacement. The calculus is unpreventable and the collapse is on its way. The average age in the world is 32. When the fertility rate is below 5, this number goes up. For most of history, this number has been in the low teens. In a country with a rate of 4, the average age increases at about 0.3 per year. At 3, it's about 0.5. At 2, it's around 0.7. This means that countries like Mexico and Malaysia will get old by 2040. Hispanic Americans are below replacement. The Islamic world's fertility is declining so fast that claims that they'll overtake Europe are essentially unfounded. In much of the developed world, the average population is in the 40s. In Japan, it's at 50. What happens in 20 years when countries' average age will be in the 60s? Millennials aren't having kids, and there are far fewer members of Gen Z. Much of Gen Z will be incapable of having kids. There's no turnaround in sight. This is now inevitable. Every year, the average age that a woman has her first child goes up. Pretty soon, most pregnancies will be considered geriatric. This will have significant long-term ramifications when it comes to the health, neurology, and development of our future. For a long time, a persuasive argument has indicated that rising life expectancies would mitigate these risks. However, the US life expectancy peaked in 2015. Unexplained deaths have been a powerful feature of our world since 2021. Our environment will cap life expectancy in the foreseeable future. Why would the child-free politicians of Europe like Angela Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, or Mark Rutte care about what's going to happen beyond their lifetimes? How much more interested would a woman like this be interested in what our world will be in 2070? China will soon run out of bodies capable of arming the People's Liberation Army. The US armed forces are in freefall. Things are going to get a little weird as cyber warfare, bio warfare, and economic war completely replace the conventional wars of nations. Wow. that is a strong take. He may be right. He may be right, although I don't hear any word being said here about the greatness of evolution and how evolution will have a response to all this. If it is to happen as he describes, what I see here is that there will be a thinning. There will be a thinning of humanity. You know, thinning is what you do in gardening, what I'm doing right now, which is you seed too much seeds and then there's too much plants growing and then you cut just some of them that you don't need and you let only a given number of plants per inch to grow. So the first thing I would point out is I'm not sure this translates to a reduction of the global population. He's describing that indeed in Africa the birth rate is still big, still great. And so I think what's happening is there will be people foregoing reproduction. They will disappear. And they will be replaced by whoever is there to make a lot of babies. So what he sees as dramatic, I see it as an opportunity. It's like there are some people who are abandoning the game of life. That's a couple less competitors to you if you're a super breeder like me or like Mama JF. If you are one of these people engaged in reproduction and interested in it, this is an opportunity. There will be less people competing for space on planet Earth going forward. Now, the big problem, I'm afraid, is that all of the propaganda that he describes is being targeted specifically at certain demographics, i.e. Western civilization, the natives of Western civilization, if you will. The problem is that these propaganda outlets, these including public school, including LGBT activism and everything, they don't reach other demographics as easy. So they end up being tools that target only basically the white people of Western civilization, while certain groups like Muslims, for example, have a kind of religious isolationism that helps them protect against that kind of propaganda. So yes, I think we should be worried about who will be reproducing going forward, but I think that the absolute numbers will never reach the point where humanity is just dropping super fast. I think there will always be an evolutionary response. If it takes being super stupid and being unable to understand the propaganda of Western civilization, the anti-reproductive propaganda, then all we'll have is there will be more stupid people breeding. Dino Legovic says, fixed at this constant sphere surface equals 4 pi r2. Why are you calculating the surface of a sphere? What are you trying to do here? Subway shooter Frank James, we had talked about him in a show, is indicted on terror charge by federal grand jury weeks after NYC court accused him of same offense. Not particularly surprising. I had analyzed his life and his commentary on YouTube, and it seemed pretty clear that he was he was politically motivated, and he was basically doing this as a terroristic act. From court packing to leaking to doxing, White House yields to national rage addiction. So Joe Biden has refused to denounce some of the protests that are happening right now in regards to Roe v. Wade. So we've had people show up at the house of certain justices of the Supreme Court. Hopefully this will not intimidate them. I don't think it will. I think we're headed toward a reversal of Roe v. Wade, and I'm just happy about it and waiting for it expectedly. FDA chief claims misinformation is the leading cause of death in the U.S. During an appearance on CNN, FDA chief Dr. Robert Califf asserted that the leading cause of death in the United States is online misinformation. Yes, really. Califf spoke about his remarks during an interview with CNN Pamela Brown, which were originally made at a health conference in Texas last month, when he said online misinformation was now our leading cause of death. As they point out in the article, he doesn't have numbers. And anyways, what would end up being classified as misinformation leading to a death would inevitably be in service to the mainstream narrative. Because if you want to go that way, why don't you count the number of pamphlets that you've passed and the number of strategies that you've deployed into society for people to get vaccinated, and some of them ended up having heart attacks or heart issues or blood clots. How about you count this? And then what? Did they die from information or did they die from misinformation? If you die from a blood clot from a J&J vaccine, have you been dying from information? As opposed to the death by misinformation, which is if you decide not to get the vaccine and, oh my God, you get COVID and, oh my God, you die. Now, that's a death by misinformation. What's a death by information? Owen Benjamin says, Keith is disappointed. These kids are safe from abuse. Keep the receipts, folks. The future will not be kind to these demons. That was Keith Olbermann saying on Twitter, imagine putting homeschool mom in your bio and not understanding you've just ruined the lives of 5 innocent children. Oh my God. These people are after children. And Owen Benjamin is completely right here. These people, they see homeschooling and they're like, there's a problem there. I need to put my hands in this. There's a problem in the fact that society doesn't have access to the brain of these children. And they will eventually come to the point of assuming homeschooling is abuse because you don't get the socialization. The socialization of being put through a Marxist public school controlled system. That's the socialization you need. And if you don't get it, you will be accused of abuse. Still, there are still some rights for homeschooling surviving in Canada and the US, but it's not going to be for long. It may be the last generation that gets some amount of liberty on this. Goldman Trader, the setup for an equity market crash is as high as I've seen it. Yes, we realize this. That's why everything is in the red. That's why we are in this circumstance. And the problem is these little drops, but in and of themselves, would not be enough for being a cause of concern if they are followed by a recovery. But if it keeps in the red like this for weeks, then we'll be in a total depression, bear market. There will be no hope of making money, and who knows what will happen. I mean, it's going to take 1 or 2 years to recover from this. The Arizona Supreme Court has slapped down a leftist lawsuit designed to stop representatives Dr. Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and State Representative Mark Fincham from appearing on their primary ballots. Representative Gosar said the result was a win for free speech. Yeah, it's absolute nonsense that these so-called far-right candidates are being pursued in court so that they can't be on the ballot. That's a total denial of democracy. Pineapple Platypotamus says they just want to ruin white boy summer. Is that still a meme? Is that still going? It was a funny meme, and it was emerging from the son of Tom Hanks, if I remember correctly. He had done a song about this. Firestarter says the only nightmares I have are of school. Dino Legovic says homeschool kids deprived. Okay, it was a joke, but I won't read it. just because it contains explicit language. But it was, but I won't ban you because it wasn't explicit language of the kind that is problematic for TOS. It's just that, okay, I cannot say it. Russia's victory day could be a crucial moment for oil, while the Kremlin has publicly stated that it won't be declaring war on Ukraine or announcing a military mobilization on Victory Day on May 9th. The markets are jittery heading into the weekend, with speculation that Russian President Vladimir Putin will announce a doomsday scenario that indicates a war not just with Ukraine, but with NATO at large. No, I've not seen any of this. I believe that Victory Day was much smaller than the leftist media would have wanted it to be. So it wasn't Vladimir Putin gloriously declaring war against three or four countries. It was just a celebration of some military accomplishments of the past. As far as the Ukraine war, it's not been progressing very much. Although there are some attempts at advancing that are being made through a pontoon. Basically, you have some rivers that they are trying to cross, rivers that would lead to further penetration into the Ukrainian controlled territory here. But for now, it's not been moving very much, and we see that even the fighting is less intense. The number of bombardments that get recorded, the number of artillery shelling sites, all of it is very low. I don't know what that means. Does it mean that there are no further ambition for a progression in Ukraine, or perhaps the troops are just repositioning? In any case, not much progression. And more censorship coming from GoFundMe. Dr. Simon Gold reports, breaking, GoFundMe has shut down a campaign to raise money for an 8-year-old girl injured shortly after taking the Pfizer COVID-19 shot. This is a new low for GoFundMe. So the story of Emma Berkey, she is an 8-year-old girl who got injured by the vaccine, tries to raise some money, but no. The vaccine is good. You cannot raise money for yourself if you've been injured by the vaccine. The vaccine is always right. In more disgusting news from the left, MSNBC guest says she wants to make sweet love to the SCOTUS leaker, the person who leaked the Roe v. Wade decision, and joyfully abort our fetus. Okay. Sometimes the leftist humor reveals what's in their head. In their head is like, oh my God, abortion. Ah, oh, that will trigger your Catholic Republicans. So I'm gonna use it as a kind of edgy commenting. I mean, the humor that you use reveals a lot about the structure of your cognition. And this woman feels just like these female comedians, you know, they always joke about menstruation here. I'm bleeding from my vagina. What about it? And you realize that they are trying to disgust you, and that in the process they think they're funny. She is trying to disgust the audience and thinks that in the process it's funny. And as a last news item tonight, the Bias News reports Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced Monday that he is signing legislation designating November 7 as Victims of Communism Day in his state. Well, at this point, Ron DeSantis is covering the toast with the seventh layer of peanut butter. It's like Ron DeSantis likes these little symbolic takes and little symbolic laws that will that he will be able to show to the people to say, look, we care about you. We care about right-wing interest. We made that advance and that advance. And it's not bad. It's good that he's that motivated. It's good that he's trying to make people happy. Now, victims of communism. Very interesting. There will now be a celebration for the people who died under communism. I guess it will. It's kind of a Holodomor Remembrance Day. I guess this is what it's going to be. Is that what we're talking about? I don't know how it will turn, but it's going to be interesting to see who will celebrate the November 7 Victim of Communism Day. That is it for tonight, boys. It's a short show, but it might be like this all summer long, because if we're headed for a recession, there's going to be less and less activity, less news, and there may not be always a big subject that allows me to do an hour or two, but it's fine. Enjoy the summer. Start working on your garden. Start working on your production and survival, because the crisis is coming. Oh, Mark D has sent a super chat just as I was getting ready to click outro. Mark D sends $20. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, salut JF, thanks for the show. I'm curious if you see potential positive consequences if/when we enter a big depression. For instance, might wokeness become economically unsustainable in this new world and die out? It will certainly not die out, but I think you're absolutely right. There will be, you know, wokeness thrives in surplus, because here's how wokeness works. You have companies that have become so big and like they grow in the billions and billions, and they're like, what can I do more? I mean, I'm already providing all this, I don't know, let's say it's a Diet Pepsi. I'm providing all this Diet Pepsi to the people at the best price that humanity has ever known. What more can I do? And then they start thinking, oh, maybe we should protect ourselves from political risks. And political risk including the possibility that there be some protest that, I don't know, we get brought in front of courts for racial discrimination or whatever. And then they start being interested. Okay, let's take this surplus money that we have anyway and pay these little agencies that will come and give these courses on CRT and how you should feel guilty as a white person. That's the phenomena. So basically, wokeness thrives on surplus. In a depression economy, basically, the farmer is not super affected. The farmer is still connected to the everyday essential living of people. He's creating something that's existential for you. He keeps producing it and you keep buying it from him. Now, they will be affected because of price of fuel and everything, but the fundamental business of the farmer is not affected, whereas the fundamental business of the wokester extortionist is absolutely crushed. And so, yes, there will be a differential, and these professional services of the CRT courses type will be seen as more and more superfluous in a world that doesn't have surplus anymore. And on top of it, much of the leftist CRT discourse revolves around surplus. Notice that. Not only are they consuming surplus in the sense that they're relying on companies having extra money to pay them, but their very perception and Marxist discourse relies on the guilt experienced in the face of surplus. So basically, they feel guilty, or they want to make you feel guilty for being in a society that is abundant and a society of profits and surplus. So there's these two angles will be hit strongly in a depression. People will be much closer to the survival, their existence. So basically, you'll see people becoming more and more like preppers, whereas preppers have always been preppers, and they will be preppers whether you have economic surplus or not. But you'll see more and more people adopting this kind of All right, minimal expense. How do I survive for the minimal? How can we reduce our cost? How can we live together, say, two people or a whole family living together rather than living apart in order to save money? How can we save is TV really needed? So you're going to have people looking back at their monthly bills and things like cable TV, recurring charges, Netflix, that kind of thing will go off. So there's going to be plenty of positive, which is why I've always been positive about the recession coming. And I think it's going to get people more into the non-costly. They will leave their over-consuming lifestyle and they will go back to the essential. That will be beautiful. And I will continue to be the same guy promoting my book, The Revolutionary Phenotype. Hopefully there will still be people capable of buying it. Inside has sent a super chat. He says, whoops, meant to make my question about men after men a hyper chat. Okay, and you had typed it in the regular chat. Let me try to see it. Have you ever read Men After Men by Dougal Dixon, and what do you think? No, I've never heard of this. What is it? A book? Men After Men, an anthropology of the future. Wow, very interesting. A speculative evolution and science fiction book written by Scottish geologist Dougal Dixon and illustrated by Philip Hood. The book also features a foreword by Brian Aldiss. Men After Men explores a hypothetical future path of human evolution set from 2,000 years in the future to 5 million years in the future, with several future human species evolving through genetic engineering and natural means through the course of the book. Okay. Which explored blah, blah, blah. Though reviews of the book were generally positive, they criticized the science aspect of the book in a greater extent than its predecessors, finding part of the book unlikely. Dixon himself is not fond of the book, referring to it as a disaster of a project. During writing, the book had changed considerably from its initial concept, which instead would have involved modern humans time-traveling to the future world of after men, and subsequently devastating the future ecosystem. Well, I'm going to have to read this, it seems, because it seems very closely related to the revolutionary phenotype, although I'm absolutely certain that he didn't get the IDs correctly and that he didn't get the replicator tango and understanding how we will be moving away from DNA in and of itself, not just from our humanity. Silver Spider says, I'm listening to The Revolutionary Phenotype on audiobook for the first time. I'm at chapter 4. All right, thank you. That's awesome. Someone was saying, no buffering today, Tillman. Wonderful. Things are starting to work, but the economy is starting to crash. We'll be right back.